Hi, Dave Emery here. This is, for the record, program number 885. What the hell does Dave Emery mean by the Earth Island Boogie Part 2, the Conga Line Ops? This is being recorded on January 10th of the year 2016. My time does fly when you're having fun. And I've been having a bleeping ball. I don't know about you, but this program, if I didn't already hold the Guinness Book of World Records record for difficult radio programs, then I would, if there were such an award, then I would certainly garner that with today's effort. This program is going to be my best attempt on air at setting forth the relationships and the profound and numerous elements of commonality between a number of seemingly disconnected events. But in fact, those events are not only connected, they are either directly or directly derivative of, or in some cases, the direct predecessors or precedents of, a series of covert operations that I have termed the Conga Line Ops. Those Conga Line Ops could be said to be the so-called Orange Revolution in 2004 in Ukraine, and even more so, WikiLeaks, the so-called Arab Spring, or the Muslim Brotherhood Spring, as I have termed it, and the Maidan Revolution, or really the Maidan Op or Coup of 2014. Beyond that, the growth of ISIS and the spread of ISIS is a direct outgrowth of these Conga Line Ops. This type of broadcasting is, and for a long time has been, something of a hybrid media form. It is a synthesis, a blending of both the on-air verbal broadcast medium and the print medium as well, in particular the internet. This program will be most emphatically that. I'm going to do my level bloody best to do justice to the Conga Line Ops in this program. However, the description for the record 885, which consists of a huge number of bullet points, and in this context, I think bullet points is not only apropos, but a gruesome pun under the circumstances, and those bullet points have numerous links. One could spend, I think, very possibly the next year following those links and the printed sources that are annotated there and the various intellectual rabbit holes that proceed down from those. However, in the description, again, which will be available later today, today being January 10th of 2016, those links will be the real substance of what we are talking about here. Now, by op, I mean intelligence operation, a covert operation. And by the Conga Line Ops, I'm really talking about something, and perhaps this sort of dates me. It's like a conga line where everybody lines up and they put each other's hands on each other's shoulders or hips. I've seen both. And they do a dance. You know, bum, 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 kick. Bum, 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 kick. Only perhaps in this context it would be bum, 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 coo. Bum, 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 coo. I guess one could say that we are going cuckoo in this particular program. I am going to do my level bloody best to do justice to this subject, and yet going in, I'm reasonably confident that past the point it just ain't gonna work. So please, 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 please use the printed descriptions for this program. Follow the links and do your best to try and get a grasp of what we are talking about, because I am extremely fearful and very pessimistic. I think the possibility of a third world war has never been greater. In fact, in many ways, I think just such a thing is underway, albeit at a relatively low intensity at the moment. And I think that if the events implicit in what I call the Earth Island Boogie, incorporating and also deriving from the Conga Line Ops, I think that the world is going to be ruined. Our civilization will be devastated, and I think that I'll give you two ideas of where I think things are going. William Shakespeare, speaking through Mark Antony in his play The Tragedy of Julius Caesar, said, "And the citizens shall become so familiar with death and the instruments of war that mothers shall but laugh to see their babes halved before their eyes. So cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war." Another shorter, more contemporary and cruder way of putting it would be to cite the popular vulgar expression, "Eat S blank 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 and die." People are asking me, "Well, you know, where are things going, Dave? You know, what's in it for me? What's going to happen to me?" Well, that is what is going to happen. You are going to eat S, barring a sea change, and I don't think that's going to happen. I would love to see it happen. If people could use this information, it might not happen. But I am afraid that is not going to take place. So barring a sea change, how is this going to impact you? What's going to happen to you and yours? You are going to eat S blank 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 and die, in that order. You and hundreds of millions, if not billions, of other people as well. So let's plunge into this summary analysis of the overlapping, intersecting progression of events that I have termed the Conga Line Ops, and which have engendered and which taken together constitute the Earth Island Boogie. By way of introduction, I think the only element of text that I am going to read concerns WikiLeaks, which helped to spur the Arab Spring, or as I call it, the Muslim Brotherhood Spring, and one cannot separate WikiLeaks from the Snowden operation, which cannot be separated out from the Maidan coup. More about that later. It is not easy to do what I do, and at several points, many bends in the road, I have looked ahead and said, "Well, I know what I'm going to have to do because I am right, and people are entitled to the truth." And yet, it is very much like the 16th century. If, let's suppose this were the 16th century, and the church has declared mathematics to be the work of the devil. On the other hand, one has seen the remarkable calculations of Copernicus and Johannes Kepler, who determined that actually the sun did not revolve around the earth. It was the other way around. Suppose one had seen the remarkable mirrored writing of Leonardo da Vinci, in which he wrote that the earth is a moon of the sun. Well, you're not going to win many points doing something like that. If one were a university student, and if one were given an examination paper, and one wrote on the basis of what one had learned from Copernicus and Johannes Kepler and Leonardo da Vinci, you would be absolutely correct. You would be far ahead of the curve, and yet because what you were discussing was at fundamental variance with the intellectual orthodoxies of the time, you would get an F on your examination paper, and beyond that you would be branded as a heretic and forced to recant under pain of death. If, on the other hand, one wrote that the earth was the center of the universe, and that the proof of this was that Joshua saw the sun orbiting through the sky and stopped it in its heavens, you would be completely and demonstrably wrong. But because that is in keeping with the prevailing intellectual and scientific orthodoxies of that day, you would get an A on your examination paper, even though you were completely wrong, and you would be hailed by your professors as a young marvel of Aristotelian science. Going into many of these things, I have felt the same. I have felt that pressure. I have felt that dynamic. You know, I've seen what was going on. I knew what had to be said. I knew what I was going to do. And I also knew that people weren't going to like it. And it was going to open me up to a lot of criticism. And that a lot of rhetorical fresh fertilizer was going to be directed my way. One of those was WikiLeaks. Everybody was going, oh, wow, isn't this great? And I'll talk more about WikiLeaks and all of the extreme right-wing and fascist connections and the grotesque ironies in this. Let's just say it ain't just me. Reading from the CNET blog, an article by Declan, D-E-C-L-A-N, McCullough, capital M, C, capital C-U-L-L-A-G-H. This is from July 20th of 2010. WikiLeaks, a strange co-founder becomes a critic, Q&A. And this is a Q&A, obviously, with John Young, who was one of the founders of WikiLeaks and who also became a critic. And in explaining part of why he became a critic, this is what he had to say about WikiLeaks. They're acting like a cult. They're acting like a religion. They're acting like a government. They're acting like a bunch of spies. They're hiding their identity. They don't account for the money. They promise all sorts of good things. They seldom let you know what they're really up to. Skipping down. The suspicion from day one was that this was an entrapment run by someone unknown to suck a number of people into a trap. So we actually don't know. But it's certainly a standard counterintelligence technique. And they're usually pretty elaborate and pretty carefully run. They'll even prosecute people as part of the cover story. That actually was talked about at Sunday's panel. They'll try to conceal who is informing and betraying others by pretending to prosecute them.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. Long article-length descriptions of the For the Record programs are available at spitfirelist.com, also featuring information that wasn't in the original program due to the limitations of time.
Well, that is the assessment of WikiLeaks by one of its founders, okay? And I will guarantee you, dollars to Bitcoin, okay, that WikiLeaks is an op. It is a major intelligence operation, and certainly there are underground Reich elements dominating this, fascist elements dominating this. The precise assignation, I can't say. I'm sure there are BND elements. There may also be elements of the underground Reich slash transnational corporate slash GOP faction of the CIA, which is the largest faction. There may be factions of MI6 involved here as well, British foreign intelligence. I don't know. But WikiLeaks is the exact opposite of what it represents itself as being. More about it in a minute. So what we're going to do is to do our best. I'm going to do my best to give an overview by way of explaining what the hell Dave Emery means by the Earth Island Boogie. Let's talk about the Conga Line Ops, these progressive, overlapping, and evolving covert operations. And we might as well start chronologically. But in 2004, there was the Orange Revolution in Ukraine, and the evidence suggests that intelligence cutouts like the National Endowment for Democracy, Agency for International Development, and others were involved with this. One of the major theoretical underpinnings for the Orange Revolution and the PORA organization, P-O-R-A, that's an acronym, were the nonviolent principles of a guy named Gene Sharp. And by the way, I should also mention in passing that this is not to say in any way that the government of Ukraine wasn't profoundly corrupt. It most assuredly was. And the suffering people of that benighted country certainly were entitled to a better government. They are still entitled to it. But what they got was the Yushchenko regime. And I think that could be accurately titled Maidan 1. Gene Sharp, as we shall see, is basically a U.S. intelligence asset. He is very close to a guy named, was, because the guy's passed away, a high-ranking CIA official named Roger Bowie. His work has been underwritten by a guy named Peter Ackerman, not a household word. Peter Ackerman was Michael Milken's right-hand man in the 1980s when Michael Milken, the so-called junk bond king, was basically engaging in activities that landed him in prison. Peter Ackerman and Michael Milken aren't exactly the best antecedents for political and or economic democracy. PORA, again, was the Ukrainian organization that used Gene Sharp's theories, and as we will see, Gene Sharp's theoretical underpinnings were also the ideological foundation of the Arab Spring as well. Viktor Yushchenko came to power. His first lady was a woman named, who had been named, Ekaterina Chumachenko. She was a key operative of the Ukrainian Congress Committee of America. That is the top OUNB organization in the U.S., the OUNB being a Ukrainian fascist organization that was part of the Third Reich's satellite nations and was inextricably linked with the Third Reich's atrocities both in Ukraine and elsewhere in Eastern and Central Europe. The OUNB, like so many other fascist elements, then jumped to Western intel after the war, CIA, BND, and also MI6 as well. Ekaterina Chumachenko of the OUNB slash UCCA became Ronald Reagan's deputy director of public liaison. She then jumped from the Reagan administration to the Yushchenko regime. Viktor Yushchenko's Minister of Justice was a guy named Roman Zvorich. Roman Zvorich had been the personal secretary to Yaroslav Stetsko in the early 1980s. Stetsko was the wartime head of state of the Ukrainian satellite nation that was part of the Third Reich's empire, basically, not a very long-lasting empire, at least in its above-ground phase, but an empire nonetheless. Roman Zvorich then traveled to Ukraine after the dissolution of the Soviet Union and became the Minister of Justice under Yushchenko, the equivalent of Attorney General. He served in the same capacity under both Tymoshenko governments and is now an advisor to Petro Poroshenko, who pretty much revived the Yushchenko regime. A guy named Volodymyr Vyatrovich was appointed by Yushchenko to head up an absolutely Orwellian institution called the Institute for National Memory. And what that institution did was to completely rewrite the history of World War II in a pro-OUNB, pro-Nazi fashion, and basically turning history on its head. Volodymyr Vyatrovich was reappointed in that capacity by Petro Poroshenko, the current president of Ukraine, and has basically, that Orwellian institution has become essentially the historical slash intellectual foundation of the current Ukraine. Closely connected with the Institute for National Memory was the revised SBU, that is the Ukrainian Intelligence Service, which was headed up under Yushchenko, who came to power as a result of the Orange Revolution and the theoretical pronouncements of Gene Sherp. The SBU was headed up by Valentin Nalavichenko, who basically worked very closely with Volodymyr Vyatrovich and basically turned the SBU into a pro-OUNB combatant and psychological warfare institution. Valentin Nalavichenko is very close to Pravi Sektor, and he then became the head, once again, of the SBU, the Ukrainian Intelligence Service, under Petro Poroshenko and the Maidan regime. We will touch on this again later. In the For the Record program 737, that I recorded on April 2nd of 2011, that was Turkish Taffy Part 1. That was the third to last program I did about the Arab Spring, very much as was the case with WikiLeaks. Everybody was going, oh, isn't this wonderful about the Arab Spring? And I said once again, no, this is an op. It is not wonderful. It is directed at bringing to power the Muslim Brotherhood. And that is an Islamic fascist organization that was allied with the Axis in World War II, and like the OUNB and so many other fascist organizations, it jumped to Western intel, CIA in particular, and it was used both to help suppress socialism in the Arab and Muslim worlds, and also ultimately in the Afghan Mujahideen effort and subsequent efforts as proxy warriors, first against the Soviet Union and now as part of the Earth Island Boogie against both Russia and China. It was also used in the Balkans as well. And many of those same elements, as I noted, would ultimately be used against the United States and would be of short-term use in helping to destabilize the Obama administration as well. Now, in For the Record 737, I had a number of bullet points with relevant links, and I'm going to recap those again. Please go to the written description for this program in order to basically flesh out your understanding and to do justice to the topic as best one can. Initially, the Tunisian coup, and that was the first of the coups, again, the Congo Line ops that morphed into the Arab Spring. At the time, I called them the piggyback coups. I think as we look back, Congo Line ops is a better term because it proceeded directly from Orange Revolution into WikiLeaks into the Arab or Muslim Brotherhood Spring, as I called it, then directly into the Snowden op, the Maidan op, and the growth of ISIS as well. Initially, the Tunisian coup was called the WikiLeaks coup because it arose from a leaked WikiLeaks cable, hence the term the WikiLeaks coup. WikiLeaks is not as it was made out to be. Just check out what John Young had to say about it. Let's start with Julian Assange. The available evidence suggests very strongly that Assange was a member of a fascist mind control cult in Australia called the Santa Ketanin Park Association, also known as the Family, not to be confused with an American Christian fascist organization that also goes by that name. WikiLeaks wound up, Julian Assange himself has something of a eugenics outlook, he feels that, in keeping with the theoretical pronouncements of the family or the Santa Ketan and Pork Association, he feels that genes and one's heritage, genetic heritage, are paramount. He feels he carries superior genes, and according to Daniel Domscheit Berg, his former right-hand man, as discussed in the book Inside WikiLeaks, Julian Assange claims to have fathered children all over the world and apparently feels it is part of his duty to spread his superior genes as much as possible. That might very well have had to do with the rape charges pending against Assange in Sweden. Swedish law is different from American law. If one is having consensual sex with a woman, but one refuses to use a condom, as Julian Assange has been alleged to do, then you can be charged with rape under Swedish law. And that, I believe, my understanding is that is the principle under which Julian Assange has been charged. It looks like, from what we can tell, Julian Assange may very well have wanted to sire a bunch of Swedish Julians, so to speak. Sounds like a cocktail, doesn't it? No pun intended. Assange sees himself as a sort of a Julian apple sperm, and in this sense embodies the Lebensborn SS eugenics outlook. Beyond that, WikiLeaks held forth on the Pirate Bay website. The Pirate Bay website is an illegal file-sharing website that was financed by a guy named Carl Lundstrom. Carl Lundstrom is a prominent Swedish fascist who not only arranged for a Scandinavian speaking tour for David Duke, but the Sweden Democrats, which he finances, is one of those European fascist parties that is garnering, is making political hay from the anti-immigrant sentiment that is sweeping Europe in the wake of the refugee crisis there, which in turn is growing out of the Syrian civil war, which in turn grew directly out of the Arab Spring, one of the conga line ops that we are talking about. The irony there is that people who were supportive of WikiLeaks and even more so Snowden were concerned with internet freedom on the one hand and also personal internet security. Well, boys and girls, the WikiLeaks website was holding forth on a website that was dedicated to illegal file sharing and whose patrons had advanced internet and, in some cases, hacking skills as well. Beyond that, the financier of that website was the financial angel of one of Europe's most prominent fascist political parties and a fellow who arranged a Scandinavian speaking tour for David Duke.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. You can subscribe to the comments posted on the SpitfireList.com website, most of them by a brilliant contributing editor who uses the moniker Terra Fractal, specializing, but by no means exclusively, in economic and financial matters.
I think it is the safest of bets that those of you who visited that WikiLeaks website had your data mined. I think that we can take for granted that that would have happened. I would also note that, as revealed by an organization called Spam House that aims at controlling spam, WikiLeaks was not only affiliated with the Russian phishing mob, it's spelled P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G. Those are the highly skilled Russian internet criminals who basically will get a hold of your password and max out your credit cards and drain your bank account and steal your identity. But the Russian phishing mafia was running a mirrored website of WikiLeaks website. So many of you who thought you were visiting the WikiLeaks website were actually visiting the website of the Russian phishing mafia. There is an old expression, count your buttons before doing them up. And the irony of people who are all worried about the NSA, believe me, the NSA doesn't give a flip about most of the details of most of your lives. They're primarily concerned with national security-related elements. You were visiting either, take your pick, a website patronized by people with advanced internet and hacking skills and finance, but one of Sweden's most prominent fascists and a professional associate of David Duke, or you were visiting the Russian phishing mafia's mirrored website. When you choose to wear your buttocks for earmuffs, it carries a very, very high price indeed. And I can't help but find a fair amount of amusement in that. I would note also that the 2010 WikiLeaks phenomenon also helped to minimize Barack Obama's popularity. Obama had drawn a lot of electoral support for young, idealistic people in this country. WikiLeaks helped to alienate them from Barack Obama. And the 2010 off-year elections generally have a low turnout, brought the Republicans to power in the House of Representatives. At this very point in time, the point in time at which WikiLeaks went to Sweden under the auspices of Carl Lundstrom and moved to the Pirate Bay website, Sweden was being headed up by a guy who was known as the Ronald Reagan of Europe. And he had as his top political advisor a fellow who also was not unknown in American politics as well. The advisor to the Prime Minister of Sweden, the Ronald Reagan of Europe, as he was called, was none other than Karl Rove, old 666 himself. So at the time that WikiLeaks is holding forth on the Pirate Bay website financed by Karl Lundstrom, Karl Rove is a dominant political presence in Sweden. The establishment of WikiLeaks on the Pirate Bay website was effected by one of Julian Assange's top aides, a guy named Joran, J-O-R-A-N, Jermas, J-E-R-M-A-S. He calls himself Israel Shamir, and he is a doctrinaire Holocaust denier who said, quote, "It is the duty of all good Christians and Muslims to deny the Holocaust, and it was he who arranged for WikiLeaks to hold forth on the Pirate Bay website." Joran Jermas and his son, Johannes Wahlström, W-A-H-L-S-T-R-O-M, a bird of the same political feather, had been in charge of WikiLeaks operations in the Scandinavia and in Belarusia and Russia as well. Not the best of people. It appears that the operation, which was to blossom into the Arab Spring, and again, it grew out of WikiLeaks in, for the record, 833 and 834. I know that the overlap between WikiLeaks and Karl Rove and what was developing as the Arab Spring, it wasn't called that then. In 834, I titled that program "A Night in Tunisia: Are Karl Rove and WikiLeaks Working with the Muslim Brotherhood?" And I remember at that point in time, everybody was saying, "Oh, this is great, you know, all these Arab countries, which were being headed up by some true political dinosaurs, they're going to be free." I remember a headline in the San Jose Mercury News, the very same San Jose Mercury News that basically crushed Gary Webb. "Egypt is free." Not so much in the parlance of our time. But I said back in the Arab Spring, back when that was all the rage, just like WikiLeaks, just like the Snowden op, no, this isn't good. And I said, ultimately, this is going to bring the Muslim Brotherhood to power, and the Islamist fascists that come to power as a result of that will be used as proxy warriors by the underground Reich against China, against Russia, against the U.S., the United Kingdom, France, and ultimately Israel as well. Bear in mind, again, that ISIS is the direct outgrowth of the Arab Spring. The civil war in Syria is a direct outgrowth of the Arab Spring. So is the burgeoning ISIS presence in Libya as well. More about that next week. I noted that in For the Record 737, that indeed the approach to the Muslim Brotherhood took place under the Bush administration and actually began before Barack Obama took office, although the Obama administration has continued the profound, deep political association between the U.S. and the Muslim Brotherhood. I would point out as well again that the so-called Arab Spring, I call it the Muslim Brotherhood Spring, used the theoretical pronouncements of Gene Sharp, who also was used in the Orange Revolution, or Maidan One, as I have called it. And again, Gene Sharp's work was underwritten by Peter Ackerman, who was Michael Milk and the Junk Bond King's right-hand man in the 1980s. He also, Gene Sharp, very close to the U.S. intelligence establishment as well. Peter Ackerman has also been very close to something called the United States Institute of Peace, an agency of the U.S. government, which has been charged accurately, in my opinion, by critics of helping to promote the Muslim Brotherhood and Islamists around the world. Now, remember back when the Muslim Spring was taking place, there was all of this discussion that, these countries will become moderate Islamic democracies like Turkey. Yeah, well, that just goes to show you how wrong you can be, because indeed many of these countries have become like Turkey. But I pointed out at the time that Turkey was no goddamned Islamic democracy, that the Erdogan government grew directly out of the Muslim Brotherhood, out of the Nekmeckan Erbakan government, out of the Bank al-Taqwa milieu, and that, in fact, it was in its foundation Islamic fascist. Well, as discussed in For the Record 884, among other programs, the bloom is off the peach. Now it's Ein Reich, Ein Volk, Ein Erdogan, basically. His fascism has become a major element of discussion. So the Arab Spring proponents were right. Yep, those countries became like Turkey. How very, very sad under the circumstances. Al Jazeera was a major promoter of the Arab Spring. Al Jazeera is run lock, stock, and barrel by the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood control of Al Jazeera is so profound that even Qatar, which is actively supporting groups like ISIS, even Qatar established a competing media voice because the very profound Muslim Brotherhood control of Al Jazeera was undermining its credibility, not in the West, by the way, particularly not in the so-called progressive sector, but in the Arab and Muslim world. The credibility of Al Jazeera was plummeting because they bloody well knew that it was run by the Muslim Brotherhood, and they know what the Muslim Brotherhood is. Again, I noted in For the Record 737, that ultimately bringing the Muslim Brotherhood to power would be used as a proxy force against Russia and China. It would be used against the U.S. ultimately, and against the United Kingdom, France, and ultimately Israel as well. We'll just take a look at what has been happening. I also predicted ultimately that the chain of events with WikiLeaks, the Arab Spring, and related activities would undermine Barack Obama's popularity as well and bring the Republicans to power ultimately. And again, in For the Record 737, I noted all of those phenomena. Now let's jump ahead to the more recent events, and we're going to take a look at how one of the Congo Line ops was WikiLeaks. It also involved many of the same elements as the Orange Revolution. It morphed directly into the Arab Spring. Initially, the Tunisian coup, the first of the piggyback coups, which were to coalesce and become codified as the Arab Spring, was the Tunisian coup, initially turned the WikiLeaks coup. And bear in mind that Karl Rove was a dominant presence in Sweden at that time. In 2013, Edward Snowden released his, quote, disclosures, unquote, the very first post. I was dealing with a life-challenging illness and was off the air for a number of months. I had a post when the Snowden op first broke. I had a post going about those so-called, about the, quote, those shocking, quote, disclosures, unquote, of Edward Snowden. And in parentheses, capital Y hyphen, capital A hyphen, capital W hyphen, capital N, in parentheses, close parentheses. Yawn. The Snowden operation has two basic levels of information. One is information that has been on the public record for a long time that I have spoken about from open sources for the better part of two decades. This is not, most emphatically, not an exercise in self-glorification, but rather it is to say that this was known. The other element is that the entire architecture of the NSA has been leaked and is in the possession of private individuals, including people like Julian Assange and his ilk as well. And Julian Assange is, as they say, not as advertised. Basically, the NSA has been kneecapped, and that is not good. I have no illusions about NSA. I'm not at all sure that their mass data collection doesn't make it almost impossible for them to do good analysis. But boy, I'm telling you, when an underground Reich element of the intelligence community, including probably elements of CIA, have kneecapped the NSA, and that has happened, you want to be asking yourself, why? I will talk about that at greater length when we update the adventures of Eddie the Friendly Spook. The Snowden operation and WikiLeaks are inextricably linked. Bear in mind that Snowden is not as represented. He is a basic act. One of my nicknames for him is the Peach Fuzz Fascist. He is well to the right of the current Republican presidential candidates. He favors bringing back the gold standard, which they endorse, many of them, and he favors eliminating Social Security. In 2009, when he was posted to Geneva, Switzerland, as, please note, an agent of the Central Intelligence Agency, he was posting under the name The True Hoo-Ha in an internet chat group, and said, want to save money? Cut this Social Security S blank, blank, blank. I can't use his exact words because this is radio. And then he said, the elderly, quote, wouldn't be effing helpless if you'd stop sending them effing checks so they can sit on their A blank blanks and lie in hospitals all day, just as Julian Assange embodied the Lebensborn aspect of the Nazi slash SS eugenics philosophy. So too, Edward Snowden, in effect, articulated the T4 program. Let's eliminate the useless bread gobblers.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. All of Dave Emery's 36 years of work is available for download on the SpitfireList.com website. The site includes many articles not included in the programs, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books. All of the material on the website is available for free. Sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs. To subscribe to the podcast, use the link at the top of the description for this program or on the front page.
And yet, I've noted that Snowden and the elements around him are inextricably linked with, at one level, Ron Paul, and also with the neo-Confederate movement as well. People who literally think that the South was right in the Civil War and that slavery was justifiable. Now, Edward Snowden journeyed from Hawaii to Hong Kong, apparently with the connivance of Jacob Applebaum, who was a close WikiLeaks associate. Glenn Greenwald is very, very close to WikiLeaks. Greenwald, of course, is Edward Snowden's chosen leaker of choice, leaking journalist of choice. Then, after he held forth in Hong Kong, Edward Snowden traveled to Russia, also courtesy of WikiLeaks. Sarah Harrison, who was Julian Assange's lover and a prominent WikiLeaks financier, arranged for Edward Snowden to go from Hong Kong to Russia. It was Snowden's presence in Russia that put the final nail in the coffin of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's State Department's efforts at the reboot with Russia. Remember that? It will be interesting to see if the deep sixing of the reboot with Russia and also of the Arab Spring doesn't bring to power Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or one of the other delightful creatures holding forth in the Republican primaries. But at least those of you who are supportive of Snowden, at least they are to the left of Edward Snowden. And they all are. None of them propose eliminating Social Security, although they might want to. They just think it should be attenuated and privatized. I would point out that the deep sixing of the reboot with Russia was the immediate predecessor of the Maidan coup, and there is every indication that that was a covert operation. The Maidan coup followed on a $5 billion investment, as unwittingly disclosed by Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland, a $5 billion operation inside, inside of the Ukraine. The Maidan coup, which Stratfor, the private intelligence service, termed a very obvious coup d'etat, it was really a very obvious covert operation, was underwritten in part by Pierre Omidyar of eBay, who has financed the journalistic efforts of both Glenn Greenwald, Snowden's leaking journalist of choice, and someone who is very, very close to WikiLeaks, and also Laura Poitras's as well. Pierre Omidyar helped to finance the Maidan coup, just like he helped he's financing the latest journalistic efforts of Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras through the Agency for International Development and the National Endowment for Democracy, both of which serve as cutouts for U.S. intelligence. Omidyar has also bankrolled a woman named Svetlana, S-V-I-T-L-A-N-A, Zalishuk, Z-A-L-I-S-H-C-H-U-K, who is a Ukrainian member of parliament who has helped to coordinate the far-right organizations like Svoboda with the so-called mainstream politicians in Ukraine. She has also been working to institute the so-called lustration laws, which are ostensibly anti-corruption laws, but which have been used to implement many of the fascist features of Ukrainian law. It was an amendment to the lustration laws, or an article in the lustration laws, that basically made it a criminal offense to criticize either the OUNB or the UPA. And by criticize, that means accurately reporting that both the OUNB and the UPA were allied with the Third Reich and deeply involved in the Third Reich's ethnic cleansing programs against Jews, ethnic Russians, Gypsies, and Poles in the Ukraine. And again, Svetlana Zalishuk, a protege of Pierre Omidyar, has been deeply involved in the regimes that came to power as a result of the Maidan coup. And the Maidan coup following on the death of the reboot of Obama and Hillary Clinton's reboot with Russia, the final nail in that coffin, the coup de grace, so to speak, pun intended, was administered by Edward Snowden. I have noted again the resonance between the Orange Revolution and the Maidan regimes, Roman Zvorich, Volodymyr Vyatrovich, and also Valentin Nalavichenko. Check the description for this program to refresh your memories from the earlier discussion in this broadcast. Now, again, the WikiLeaks operation was initially established under the Pirate Bay website financed by Carl Lundstrom by a guy named Joran Jermas, a.k.a. Israel Shamir. He was one of the top aides to Julian Assange, one of his right-hand men. By the way, Julian Assange is also an advocate of neoliberal economics. He favors the open free markets that are espoused by people like Grover Norquist, Edward Snowden, and their ilk. He is the opposite of what he has been represented as being. Now, again, Jeremoss was the fellow who arranged for WikiLeaks to hold forth on the Pirate Bay website, as we discussed in, among other programs, For the Record 745. Sharon Jeremoss is very much in the orbit of an organization called MAUP. That's M-A-U-P. It is an acronym. That is the largest private university in Ukraine. It promotes a doctrinaire anti-Semitism. One of the faculty members there is David Duke. That's the very same David Duke who has networked with Ron Paul. He was Edward Snowden's presidential candidate of choice, the top legal counsel to Ron Paul's campaign. Bruce Fein became the first attorney for Edward Snowden and is the counsel for the Snowden family. David Duke is a faculty member at MAUP University. He has networked with Ron Paul for decades. He networked with Carl Lundstrom as well. You could use David Duke as something of a trace element for all of these conga line ops. He figures in WikiLeaks. He figures in with the Maidan coup. He figures in with the milieu of Edward Snowden. So if you don't like David Duke, you may want to take a very, very good look at the elements in the conga line ops, including Eddie the Friendly Spook Snowden. One of the OUNB fascist organizations that came to power as a result of the Maidan coup was Svoboda, S-V-O-B-O-D-A. You also see it as W-O-B-O-D-A. That word means freedom in many Eastern European languages. It is a most inappropriate title. Svoboda was one of the fascist OUNB successor organizations that came to power in Ukraine as a result of the Maidan coup. Their combatant wing is called Combat, their military wing is called Combat 14. That is derived from the so-called 14 words that became an international Nazi and white supremacist slogan. They were minted by David Lane. David Lane drove the getaway car in the murder of Alan Berg. That murder was basically inspired by the Turner Diaries. The Turner Diaries were published by National Alliance, and just like the National Alliance's other books, they are intended as teaching tools. The aforementioned Glenn Greenwald, again, Edward Snowden's leaking journalist of choice, a fellow very close to WikiLeaks, a fellow financed whose journalistic efforts are being financed by Pierre Omidyar, who also helped to finance the Maidan coup. Glenn Greenwald spent years running legal interference for the leaderless resistance strategy and won impunity for the National Alliance and other Nazi and white supremacist groups that use the leaderless resistance strategy. He won a law case that made organizations like the National Alliance safe from civil suits that could be filed against them for promoting violence. This is not, as it has been misrepresented, the criminalization of free speech. Far from it. You could still say what you want to say. You said, you know, kill the Jews, or the blacks are inferior, they're a bunch of monkeys, we should kill them, or the gays, or whoever. You could still say that. However, if you said that, and if it could be demonstrated that someone was inspired by your words to do those things, then you bore civil responsibility for that. Thanks to Glenn Greenwald, who spent years running legal interference pro bono for Nazi and white supremacist groups, the same elements who figure in the background of Dylan Roof, the apparent South Carolina church shooter from 2015, you can no longer file suit against those organizations on because of their activities. And again, Combat 14, inspired by the order, inspired by the Turner Diaries of the National Alliance, for whom Glenn Greenwald ran legal interference. The 14 words are very popular in Ukraine, the same Maidan milieu that came to power as a result of the activities of Pierre Omidyar and Edward Snowden and others. I would note other elements of resonance as well. Glenn Greenwald is also very close to the Council on American Islamic Relations, which basically is inextricably linked, like Al Jazeera, with the Muslim Brotherhood. We have spoken about the UNA-UNSO. That is the contemporary incarnation of the UPA, the military wing of the OUNB. It was very active in Chechnya and the Caucasus, and it fought with Chechen Islamists against Russia. Now it morphed, it eventually morphed into Pravi Sektor. Pravi Sektor now has administrative command of Chechen ISIS fighters who have decamped to Ukraine to fight against Russia, who previously were active with the support of Erdogan's Turkey in Syria. Turkey has also been very supportive of the Crimean Tatars, and the Crimean Tatars have also been collaborating with Pravi Sektor against Russia in Crimea, among other things, blockading road traffic and sabotaging the Crimean power grid. We have spoken about the Grey Wolves, the pan-Turkish fascist youth wing of the National Action Party. They have been very active in Chechnya, and they are supporting the Uyghurs in China, a Turkophone Muslim group in China working to split off Xinjiang, the fossil fuel-rich Xinjiang province, from China. I would also note that the head of the Office of Security and Cooperation in Europe's Special Study Mission in Ukraine is a fellow who was named Michael Bashurku, who is very close on the one hand to the OUNB and also to a Malaysian Muslim Brotherhood milieu that tracks back to Grover Norquist and that figures in the background of the disappearance of Malaysian Flight 370. Michael Bashurku has also been at the one of the point elements in the investigation of the shooting down of Malaysian Airlines Flight 17. And again, bearing in mind that ISIS is a direct outgrowth of the Arab Spring, one of these conga line ops, we might, as we look back, recall the U-2 incident in which the U-2 spy plane was deliberately sabotaged, thereby deep-sixing the summit conference between then-President Dwight Eisenhower and then-Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev. The L'Affaire Snowden, as I have termed it, the Snowden op, one of the conga line ops, we can now look back and see has preceded both economic and military and covert operations, offenses on the Earth Island. Snowden traveled to Hong Kong just as Obama was going to meet with President Xi, thereby complicating U.S.-Chinese relations. In the interim, we have seen the launching of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which excludes China, and not only growing pan-Turkist and Islamist activity against China, but also growing military confrontation and the U.S. military buildup in the Pacific to contain China. Likewise, we have seen American and economic sanctions against Russia. This combined with the open combat in Ukraine precipitated by the Maidan coup. And we are seeing pan-Turkist activities both in Russia and Crimea and in China as well. Please use the description. We're going to listen to Elizabeth Gould from For the Record 772 summing up the Earth Island boogie.
Here is another quote that we have on the attitude that these kinds of individuals have. The policy of guiding the evolution of Islam and of helping them against our adversaries worked marvelously well in Afghanistan against the Russians. The same doctrines can still be used to destabilize what remains of Russian power and especially to counter the Chinese influence in Central Asia.
And that, in 25 words or less, is what the hell I mean by the Earth Island boogie and the conga line ops. This concludes For the Record program number 885. What the hell does Dave Emery mean by the Earth Island boogie part 2, the conga line ops? This is being recorded on January 10th of the year 2016. Thanks for listening.